All right. Well, as was kind of already pointed out, Juanita and I and Ed and Dee were at Pastor's Retreat for the first part of this week. We were over at Camp Forest Springs, and it was a great time of rest and retreat. And as I typically do, I like to bring back what we get there. So we had a number of messages that were great to hear, and I would like to share one of them for sure with you, because maybe that message will be an encouragement for you as well. So we'll be taking a break from our First John series today for sure. I'm not really sure what will happen next Sunday. We'll see where the Lord leads there. But the one I'll be sharing with you this morning is a message that was put together by our speaker, and that was Ray Pritchard, who is a part of Keep Believing Ministries. And the message that I'll be sharing with you this morning is titled, When Jesus is in the Boat. And today we'll be looking at a storm that took several people by surprise. And when the storm hit, it isn't like, you know, if we get caught in a bad storm in our car, or if you ride motorcycle, if you get caught in a storm, you can oftentimes find shelter under an overpass or by going to a gas station and getting under the overhang and be able to just pull out from the storm for a while. But with these guys, they were stuck in a storm in a boat. They couldn't just pull over. Well, that doesn't really come out real clear, but this is a painting by Rembrandt of Jesus and his disciples in a storm. And over the years, I've watched many deep sea fishing shows. I don't know if you like those. Not terribly long ago, we used to have the Discovery Channel, but you could sometimes watch it on. I would watch them on streaming. But crab fishing or lobster fishing, you know, those were some shows that I enjoyed. Just kind of a mindless thing to watch. But on several of those episodes, I would watch the captain and his crew running into rough waters and storms. And I always wondered how seasick I would get if I was ever there. But some of those storms that those guys went through that were filmed were really rough, terrible. I remember one episode on one of the shows, I can't remember which, a well-seasoned deckhand was teaching a new guy the ropes of the fishing, whatever they were doing. And the waves were really high, and they were crashing over the sides. The temperature was just freezing cold, and the winds were powerful. And the new guy, you could tell, was pretty concerned over his safety and welfare, wondering, is this the one time where the ship is going to go under? But the seasoned deckhand, he just kind of took it in stride, and he told the new guy, when he should get nervous. He said, if you see the captain running for his life suit, now this is kind of an overall type suit, I think orange, and it's meant to keep a person afloat and keep them somewhat warm in the really cold Arctic waters. But if you see the captain running to get his suit, you know it's time to get nervous. It's time to be concerned. But until then, don't worry. The thought there is that the one with the most experience knows when it's time to be concerned and when it's not time to be. So let's look at our storm for today. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 35, and we'll read our passage for today. Mark 4, 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, he took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." See, Jesus and his disciples had been ministering all day. They needed rest, and in order to rest, Jesus instructs them to get into the boat and head over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Because if they stayed, the crowds of people would continue seeking them to minister. So the decision was made to leave. And so they decided to get in the boat and sail across to a new place on the Sea of Galilee. Just a side note, I kind of struggle to call the Sea of Galilee a sea. When we have big lakes like we have around here, Lake Superior, Lake Michigan. Now I'm from Minnesota, so Red Lake and Mille Lacs Lake, they're really big lakes. Much bigger than the Sea of Galilee. I can say that because I've actually been to the Sea of Galilee. I saw the sea in 2009 with Juanita. Here's a picture of her, and we're on Mount Arbel, and there's the sea behind us. You can actually see the other side. Oh, actually, we're not really looking at the sea there. She's not even in here. I had to put that in. Here we see a boat crossing the sea, and the sea really isn't that huge. Now, the sea was probably likely a little bigger back then than it is now. But if you think back to the time of Jesus and the boats that they would have had, it still would have taken a while to get across. But anyways, after Jesus told them to get in the boat, they head off to the other side. It was calm, and it was a quiet boat ride until the storm moved in. I've been told that due to the geography of the area with the mountains around and just some other factors, that if a bad storm comes in, that these features tend to make the wind really circulate around on the sea, almost making it as if the wind is blowing from every direction, with waves growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And the seasoned fishermen, you know, we know that a number of the apostles were seasoned fishermen. They grew up on the water. They knew the water. These seasoned fishermen have alerted the others that it is time to be concerned when the storm hit. They're bailing out water. They're doing all they can to keep the boat afloat. And where is Jesus? Jesus is sleeping on a cushion in the back of the boat. So the panicking disciples wake Jesus, and the disciples make two assumptions that we see in verse 38. These disciples assume, number one, that they're about to die. And the second assumption is that Jesus doesn't care. I'll discuss more on these assumptions in a little while. But think for a moment. Who said to get in the boat in the first place? Was the storm a surprise to Jesus? I don't think the storm was a surprise. Where we see miracles in the Bible, we also see teachable moments. And this is a teachable moment. The disciples panicked, and I don't care who you are. If the boat that you're in and you see the most seasoned and the most experienced person on the water going for their life suit, we would react no different than the disciples. But Jesus is in the boat. Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves, and what happens? They're all stilled. I would think that even if the storm stopped and the wind stopped blowing, water tends to slosh around for a while. But what are we told? That after his rebuke, quiet, be still, it all becomes calm. Adding to the miracle. Jesus saying that quiet, be still is a lot like what we would say to maybe a misbehaving dog. We would say, sit, go to your kennel, be quiet. The calmness brings about that teachable moment where Jesus asks two questions. He asks the questions, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Yet the moment doesn't end there. How do the disciples respond? You see, the disciples, they were scared when they were in the middle of the storm, but then we're told that they were terrified after the miracle. I can't say that I ever really thought about that when I've read this a number of times. These men who have been with Jesus in his ministry, they've seen many different things. They've seen miracles. Yet they are scared of the storm, but terrified of the miracle. This is a teachable moment for the disciples, but it's even more so a teachable moment for each and every one of us. Storms are very much a part of our lives. Our storms may not look like this one on the Sea of Galilee, but ours may not seem any less scary or any less life-altering. It's what we do in these storms that can make us stronger. There is a calm to be found before a storm, there's a calm to be found during a storm, and there's a calm to be found after the storm. And in this scripture, the calm before the storm was getting into the boat with Jesus, sailing on calm waters. Jesus was tired and he laid down in the back of the boat and he fell asleep. They were all tired. Jesus was tired. This points to Jesus' understanding of what we go through, because he was just as much man as he was God. When he was thirsty, he drank. When he was hungry, he ate. And when he was tired, he slept. The calm before the storm is taking care of ourselves and finding rest with our Savior, Jesus, before a storm hits. Now, the calm during the storm is a little less obvious. Why is that? Because our attention is on the storm. Storms are so big and they take all of our attention. It's hard to find a calm when a storm is raging. And Mark calls it a furious squall came up. Matthew says that it was a great storm, a mega storm. It was an enormous storm for that time. They were bailing out water. They were fighting for their lives. And who has the time to sit and think, where's the calmness in this storm? But I tell you, there's one to be found. And I'll tell you where it is in just a moment. But the reality for us is that in this world, storms come up. Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat, and they did, and Jesus wasn't surprised by the storm. Do you think Jesus could have kept the storm from coming? You bet. Is it possible that Jesus could even initiated the storm for his disciples' learning? It's possible. I say that because I read Isaiah 51:15, "For I am the Lord your God who churns up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name." We have to say that the storm could possibly have come from the Lord, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time or any more time on whether it came from him or it was just a result of living in a fallen world where storms happen. But storms come, whether we're ready for them or not. Storms come in a moment's notice. Storms remind us of how vulnerable that we are. Storms come in all shapes and forms. For some, it's a phone call away bearing bad news. In a moment's notice, a phone call could mean a storm has hit. Storms come when we are tired. They come while we're not ready. They come when we're already in another storm. A storm hits when the doctor says they've done all that they can do. A storm hits when you find out your son or daughter got into trouble. A storm hits when your spouse tells you that they don't love you anymore. A storm hits when your boss asks to see you and tells you that you no longer have a job. A storm hits when you cannot pay your bills anymore. You see, when the storm hits, you do discover what you believe. When the storm hits, we often make assumptions like the disciples did, because we're no different. Our assumptions can often be, "Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm hurting? Don't you care that I am losing all this? Jesus, can't you see that I am dying here from what's going on?" Well, it's the storms of suffering that really shows our beliefs and our faith. Now, we shouldn't be surprised when we or others crumble under the pressure. The apostles did. But it's when everything seems to be falling apart that we will know where our faith is. And for many of us, we will cry out, "Jesus, don't you care? Are you going to let me suffer?" Yet where is the calm in the midst of a storm? Though we rarely acknowledge it, we see the calm in the boat with the disciples was Jesus. Jesus was the calm in the storm. He is our calm in our storms. The Son of God was not excited by what was happening. And he calms two storms. He calmed the outside storm with a miracle, and he calmed an internal storm with his words. "Why are you afraid? What is so big in your life that Jesus cannot carry you through?" You see, he is the calm in our storms of life. Then there's the calm after the storm. Psalm 107:28 says, "Then he cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed." I know from experience that a storm can seem so rough that it's hard to see Jesus working in it or through it. But after the storm is over, we often see that Christ was indeed at work and with us through the whole thing. You see, the disciples were sitting in a boat after Jesus calmed the sea, and yet they were terrified and asking, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" This is Jesus the Christ. the Son of God who came to dwell among us. He came because he loves you and me. After the storm is over and there is calmness, our faith should be stronger. But storms point us to Christ and our dependence on him. And even though I can stand here and tell you that storm strengthens us, I don't like them. I don't like them. They're painful. But if we had no storms, there wouldn't be any strengthening of our faith. Little storms strengthen our faith a little, but big storms usher in a bigger faith. Let me put it another way. No storms mean no struggles. No struggles mean no testing. No testing means no perseverance. No perseverance means no trust, and no trust means no faith. Now, many might say, I can have faith without a storm. But a storm does help us in knowing how strong our faith is. This brings me to one of the harder things that we must understand. A German theologian by the name Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, when Christ is in the boat, a storm always comes up. That's not very encouraging. If Christ is in my boat, that means a storm is coming up. But there is good news that I want to leave you with. When Christ is in the boat won't sink, and the storm won't last. Is Christ in your boat? If you need a miracle, ask for one. And trust Jesus. Trust him that he will be with you, traveling with you, and is present with you. A short little prayer that our speaker, Ray Pritchard, gave us was this: O Lord, increase my faith to trust you even when the waves rise and my little boat is about to sink. That short prayer may be all that one can get out in the midst of a very difficult storm. When Christ is in the boat, I want you to remember, the boat won't sink and the storm won't last. And I'll close in prayer here in a few moments, but I wanted to take a few minutes just to speak about some of the things that we have this morning. I'll be talking specifically about the baskets that were put together, the more or less a plate with some goodies in there. Two things I want to say about these is, how many of you are able to just go up to a person's door and simply do something kind for them with no strings attached? For many people, to love our neighbors simply means to keep out of their business and leave them alone. I think we can be a little more proactive in our love. We have 80-some of these fruit or gift baskets, and I want to challenge you this morning to take some. Take two, take three, take four. As Trent already mentioned this morning, we're missing a number of families, so take five or six. Just take some and take it to your neighbor. Take it to someone that you've been building a relationship with. If you don't really have anyone in particular to take it to, we have a list of names and addresses in the Jump River area that you can take it to. Just make sure to talk to Juanita and tell her how many you're taking, just so we can keep track. You never know who's going through a storm, and Christ might use you, might use this gift to bring a little calm in a storm of their life. He may use you to speak encouraging words. And if the opportunity comes up that you can pray with someone, take it. Take it. And next week I'll give an opportunity to hear testimonies on how it went. It could be a testimony of you stepping out of your comfort zone, because for some people, it's difficult to go to someone's house that you don't know. Maybe it's a testimony of how it went, showing Christ's love in action. We also have a number of the shoeboxes here for Operation Christmas Child, and each one of these shoeboxes will be given to a child in a different country. And Operation Christmas Child will also include the gospel in their language. And so I would also like to, pray about the gift baskets here, but I'd also like to pray over the shoeboxes, that God would use these to share the gospel with the child that doesn't know it.